The Old Testament reading for Monday, Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roast it on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. You may be seated. We love the Lord's Supper because we love the Lord who gave it to us. And we love the gifts that he gives. That's who we are as Christians. The Lord's Supper is the New Testament in the Lord's blood. Jesus died, and we have the benefits. When he commands us then to take and eat, take and drink, we don't see this as a burden. No, we see it as a blessing bestowed upon the church and for our good. He invites us to feast at the feast where he is the true Passover lamb who has been sacrificed and now pours out and overflows what he has accomplished: forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Lord's Supper is not an invention of men. Rather, it was instituted, established by Christ himself on the night when he was betrayed over into the hands of men to suffer and die for us. It's no wonder why this day in the church year, the hymn of the day is Luther's communion hymn that we just sang, "O Lord, we praise thee." For this gift of this blessed sacrament, we, the people of God, praise, adore, and in thanksgiving bow before the Lord, who has given salvation to us and continues to give us such a wondrous gift of love. Taking this seriously, too, we examine ourselves because we know our sin. We know we don't deserve what the Lord gives to us. We don't own the Lord's Supper. It doesn't belong to us, just as baptism, the Word of God, the pastoral office, or the church don't belong to us. They aren't our possessions. That's why a great term for the sacrament of the altar is the Lord's Supper. St. Paul understands this, as we see in the epistle reading tonight, when the Holy Spirit wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." God gave it to St. Paul, and he delivered it over to the Corinthians and to us, to the church. So the minute we think we are entitled to the Lord's Supper, that we deserve to feast at the table, is the minute we are unprepared and unworthy to eat and drink the Lord's body and blood. So God rightly teaches us to examine ourselves this day, as he said through St. Paul in the epistle reading, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." And so these words are true and always good for us to hear as we examine ourselves according to God's law. We live in this world where the devil, the world, and our own fallen flesh, they still tempt us and draw us into sin and away from God. Therefore, we rightly examine our lives, and we know who we are in all of this. The word and its derivatives here used for examine is used in other places as well, for test, discern, both looking at oneself, examining truth from error, testing the spirit, such as in 1 John 4, or even the testing of deacons and pastors in 1 Timothy 3. So take the Lord's gifts seriously. Examine yourself. Last night we heard about examining ourselves according to God's law as that mirror. See your sin, repent, and be on guard against the devil and his evil ways. When we do this, we do just as the text says. We judge ourselves truly and see that we don't deserve what the Lord gives, but rather we appeal to his mercy that he has shown us in Christ. We turn from our sin and toward the Lord who has taken our sin upon himself. We go to the Lord's Supper as sinners who need a gracious God to give only what he can give. Martin Luther famously preached in the Large Catechism. It often circles around social media around this time of the year. If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are every minute aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible. So why is that? Well, it's because the Lord's Supper is the medicine of immortality. It's the feast of life, giving you life and pointing you to that day when the feast never ends, and you have life in abundance. For God to give you the Lord's Supper and you to receive it is to find consolation in his own arms and rest easy in his care. It's to partake of and trust those words of promise that silence the devil, silence the fallen world, silence your fallen flesh, and replace it with the words of given and shed for you that your Lord speaks. And that's the encouragement God gives you today, to eat and drink what he has given and to partake of this often. The Lord has shown you mercy in Christ, and his mercy overflows. His love is poured out. He poured out his blood, shed on the cross, and that same blood is given to you in this sacrament, delivering to you forgiveness. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So on this day, too, we also rejoice that the Lord is bodily present for you in the Lord's Supper. Your Lord loves you and doesn't leave you as orphans. He doesn't leave you something just for you to look at and point to something else. No, far from it. He's still here. He's with you, in your midst. It's not only a thing of comfort, but it teaches you about the very nature of who your Lord Jesus is, connected with everything else that he teaches you. In 1544, near the end of his life, Martin Luther wrote again about those who denied that Jesus was truly physically present in the Lord's Supper. He got very blunt and to the point, but it's worth our consideration as we think about this dear gift of God. Luther wrote, "O dear man, if someone does not want to believe the article of faith concerning the Lord's Supper, how will he ever believe the article of faith concerning the humanity and divinity of Christ in one person? If you have doubts about whether you are receiving the body of Christ orally when you eat the bread from the altar, likewise that you are receiving the blood of Christ orally when you drink the wine in the Lord's Supper, then you must surely have serious doubts, especially when the end of your life draws near, about how the infinite and incomprehensible Godhead, who is and must essentially be everywhere, can be bodily enclosed and included in the humanity and in the Virgin's body, as St. Paul says in Colossians 2:9, in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily." So in other words, Luther is saying, if you don't take Jesus at his word when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood," how can you believe other parts of Scripture? How can you believe he was born of the Virgin, or fully God and fully man, or that his death really did atone for sin? Either all his word is true and clear, or none of it is. He is the Lord, you are not. It's his supper. St. Paul understood this when he said, "For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you." So he, as an apostle, received this word of Christ, and as a steward of this gift, he was called to administer it to God's people faithfully, according to the institution of Christ, and not according to what he thought best. So faithful pastoral care is nothing other than the care of Christ himself, who is present and with us, caring through his appointed office and using the means that the Lord has instituted. So on this day, on Maundy Thursday, the Lord gave himself over into the hands of men, and yet he also gave you such a great gift, his supper. It's yours, and you are his own. And so Jesus loves you and gives you himself. That's always the remarkable thing to hear in the gospel reading. It's always striking every year when St. John recorded, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." So as you take all of this in on this day, as the beginning of these great 3 days, where we look towards Good Friday tomorrow, we look towards the great vigil of Easter on Saturday evening and into Easter Sunday, Jesus knew what would happen later that night, on that night when he was betrayed. He knew what was to take place in the coming hours. Yet St. John tells us something wonderful. His mind, his heart, his thoughts were on loving his disciples, loving you. The Lord ate with his disciples and washed their feet, for he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. God in the flesh got down on his hands and knees and washed the stinky, dirty feet of his disciples, showing them this example of love that then they were to show to one another. This is the great mandate related to Maundy. The Lord gives a new commandment I give to you, to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper, is the sacrament of love. It's life-changing and life-forming for you as Christians, that your Lord gives you all of these things. And just as God loves you in Christ and feeds you with his true body and blood given and shed for you, this produces love in your life as well. That post-communion colic sums it up well. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. So the mercy and love God shows to you in this supper spills out into your lives as you forgive the sins of those who sin against you, as you serve where God has placed you in your church, your homes, and in the world around you. This is where the sacrament then extends out in its fruit, which are shown in your lives as the people of God. Feasting upon the true body of Christ, you go out in your vocations living as the body of Christ, the church. You are what you eat, as the saying goes, and so you live as little Christ, as you love your neighbor as God has called you to live. And this love, too, isn't abstract, but it's shown in real ways to real people you know. And the love you show is not left up to your own devices, nor do you have to wait for God to speak and reveal what this love looks like in your life. No, as Christians, you see God's commandments as they guide and teach you for how you love your neighbor and what this looks like. Children, honor their father and mother. Parents, seek to raise them up in the fear and love of God. You see your neighbor's bodily needs and help him in them. You are faithful to your spouse to live a sexually pure and decent life. You help your neighbor in his property. You're content with what you've been given. This is how you see and love your neighbor, which also is loving God. And God produces this new life in you as he has baptized you, as he preaches to you, and as he feeds you in this supper that he has given to you. And the Lord does these works of love in your life and teaches you where and how they are done according to his will and who you are as his people. So, dear people of God, today you commemorate the day your Lord was handed over to suffer and die. But you know, without question, that it was all for you. His work has been accomplished, and he gives you the benefits of what he has done. So rejoice this day and consider this great love that he shows and gives to you. Praise, adore, and give thanks as you receive his word and feast at his supper. Take, eat, take, and drink what your Lord gives. Hold fast to this gift and keep coming back to it as often as possible. You are in this world, and you need Jesus, and he is here, and he is here for you. Dear people of God, the Lord loves you. He came to serve and give his life as a ransom for you. And so he has washed away your sins in the waters of holy baptism, and you have a share in him and his kingdom. So he calls his church. He calls you to treasure his supper that he gives to you out of his love and abundance for you. Come in repentance. Come in faith to the feast that he gives. The Lord grant his church a faithful and steadfast confession of this gift until he comes again. And he humble us that we never have a sense of pride, entitlement, or want to doubt or deviate from his word. We are indeed beggars and not worthy to have even the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yet he is the merciful Lord, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world and gives the feast of salvation. Thanks be to God for this wondrous sacrament, for this great treasure. God's people praise him, bless him, and adore him. Thy holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us. O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee that thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. Thanks be to God for such mercy on this day, this great gift of his love to you, his bride, the church. Taste and see, the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.